Hi, this is Gary Brumbelow. I'm so glad you've chosen to listen to this sermon, and I trust you will find something of real benefit in what you're about to hear. You may be clicking on from anywhere in the world, but if you're in the vicinity of Troutdale near Portland, Oregon, we'd love to have you in our service every Sunday at 11 o'clock. We're located at 921 Buxton Avenue, a half mile above the historic downtown Troutdale. But in any case, may God bless you richly. Thank you for listening. And we trust that you can join us for our Thanksgiving feast after the service today, which is one of the big times. I mean, we have food together every Sunday here after the service. But today is one of those occasions where we really have a feast, and hopefully you can stay and participate with us in that. Would you turn to Psalm 100? Psalm 100, where I will read and we will endeavor to see what the Lord has for us today. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. And by the way, the whole psalm is on the bulletin there in the top on the right-hand side. If you wanted to use that to follow along, it will be in the same version that I'm reading. Psalm 100. A psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And as we come to your word this morning, gracious Father, how mindful we are of our neediness and our great need, Lord, for you to pour your life and truth into our hearts. We do come with thanksgiving. We come in praise, and we come in confession that you're the only one who can fill the heart and the life. And this morning, as we have a few minutes to consider this wonderful psalm, we pray for your Spirit's enablement to quicken our hearts and minds so that we can hear what you have to say to us. We don't want to miss anything that you have for us this morning, gracious Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Somewhere I heard the story of an old man who faithfully went to church every Sunday. And when he got there, he went into the cloakroom and hung up his coat and hat. But before he went into the sanctuary, he always, every Sunday, stopped and prayed. And he gave thanks to God for something. And he was known for this. Maybe he was giving thanks because it was a beautiful day outside. Or maybe because he had seen a rare bird that morning on his way to church. Or he had gotten a phone call from his son. Or maybe he picked the first tomato of the season. But he always found something to be thankful for every Sunday. But then a Sunday came that was kind of different. In fact, a very nasty, foul weather Sunday. Windy, cold, rainy, you know, like Troutdale. And he blew all the way to church, blew in the door, managed to get the door closed behind him, and didn't notice that a deacon was peeking around the corner because he was very curious to see what would happen today. Surely there wouldn't be any prayer of thanksgiving today. Surely not. And he watched, and the man took off his coat and hat, hung them up, and the deacon was fairly holding his breath to see what would happen next. And would you know it, the man stopped and bowed his head. And this is what the deacon heard him say. Father, thank you. Thank you. Praise to you, precious Father. Thank you that every day is not like today. Hallelujah. So there's some humor there, but of course there's more than just humor. It makes us smile, but that's the story that pictures a thankful heart. See, a thankful heart always finds a reason to be grateful. There's never a day when a thankful heart can't find something to be thankful about. And here it is, Thanksgiving Sunday. And I wonder, beloved, what are you thankful for today? Maybe we'll get a chance to share about that in the meal after the service. Or maybe you're thinking, you know what, preacher, if you knew what my life was like, you wouldn't say that. If you were to walk a mile in my shoes, you'd know that my life is too miserable for me to be thankful. I'm here, but don't push your luck. Well, that may be. But I would suggest to you that this psalm throws a little different perspective on that question. In fact, this psalm implies something that will make an entirely different view for you if that's kind of how you're thinking this morning. And here's what I'm saying. This psalm tells us that your life is not about you. See, we don't think like that. We always think our life is about us, you know. We get up in the morning and now what's my day going to be like? We kind of picture life as a play or a drama in which we're the star. You know, we're the main character. And so when things go our way, then that's fine. You know, that's good. Everything's happy and it's all good. But when things don't go our way, then we're not very happy. We're weary, we're overwhelmed with life, and we're unhappy. And we think, well, somebody needs to do something about this. God, you need to make me happy. Why doesn't God deliver me from my troubles? How could God let this happen to me? As if God owed you something, and if he doesn't deliver, the least he can do is explain himself. And we kind of get that backwards, don't we? Because, beloved, our life is not about us. Your life is not about you. Your life is about God. The whole story of humankind, the history of the world, is the story of God. He has a place for you in that story. But we can see life differently if we recognize my life is not about me. Your life is not about you. Your life is about God. And God is worthy of praise. God is worthy to be thanked in every situation. And so we have Thanksgiving. Thursday is Thanksgiving. Today is Thanksgiving Sunday. We got this because it was a tradition in the English Reformation a bunch of years ago, and when the Puritans arrived here in 1620 at Plymouth Rock, they brought this celebration of Thanksgiving with them. 1620, that's a bunch of years ago. But way earlier than that, this psalm was written. This psalm was written much earlier than that, and this is a psalm that calls us to give thanks. Did you see the superscript, the part that comes before verse 1? Mine says, a psalm for giving thanks. A psalm for thanksgiving. That's why we have this psalm here, and we're going to see this morning why we should give thanks to the Lord. So if you're wondering, well, why should I give thanks to the Lord? You're going to see the answer to that question. But before we see the answer to that question, we're going to see the answer to a prior question, and that is, who should give thanks to the Lord? Because the writer tells us that right away. The writer clearly identifies two groups who should give thanks to the Lord. And the first group, he says, should give thanks to the Lord is all the earth. You see that in verse 1? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. The whole earth should give thanks to the Lord. The earth with lots of noise should praise and thank God. And that makes sense because the earth was made by God. God created all things. Everything in the creation finds its life in God. And the psalmist calls the whole creation, the entire cosmos, to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Psalm 148 says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. And here we're reading, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Now, frankly, I think it's a figure of speech. In other words, I don't think the psalmist means it to be taken literally, that the whole earth is shouting joyfully to the Lord. But there actually is sound in the cosmos, in the creation that we can't hear, that we've never heard until recently. There are electromagnetic vibrations that emanate from the stars. They pulsate in wavelengths, and recently NASA has rigged up a way to record these vibrations and transform them into sounds that we can hear. And you may have seen Pastor Louis Giglio's video where he talks about this. There are quasars that are massive objects in the heavens, kind of like stars, then they give out these powerful sound signals. And Pastor Louis Giglio has reduced these to where you can hear them and put them on top of the sounds that whales make, and they fit together. It's like the whole earth making a joyful noise to the Lord, giving thanks to God because he made it. The whole earth should give thanks. But the writer mentions another group that should give thanks, and that is God's people. God has a special people. They have received his salvation. They are his family. They are his sheep. Look at verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. There's two groups mentioned in this psalm. The whole earth and God's people. And both of these groups are called to give thanks to God. And it calls his people the sheep of his pasture. That's a metaphor that the Bible uses a lot. The metaphor to capture the relationship between people and God is we are his sheep and he is our shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Here in Psalm 100, the sheep find all they need from the pasture of their God. Did you see that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture? The whole earth, and especially God's people, should give thanks to the Lord. But why? Why should we give thanks to the Lord? Well, hold on to that. We'll see that in a minute. Here's a second question that we're going to answer first. How? This psalm tells us how we should give thanks to the Lord. We've seen the who, but it also says the how. And once again, there are two parts to the answer. First, we should give thanks to the Lord in loud praise. Verse 1 again, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. We should give thanks to the Lord in loud praise. If you've ever been in a big stadium full of people, and especially heard their roar when their team scores, you have a little picture of this. Years ago in our marriage, Valerie and I lived about one block from the football stadium of Texas A&M University. And sometimes we were at the game because I was a student there, but often we weren't at the game. But we could hear what was going on over there, especially when there was a big play by the home team. And you can, if you haven't heard that, you can imagine that. And if you have heard it, it's a little sample of what the writer is calling for here. In fact, John writes about it in Revelation. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God." And you see here in verse 1, a loud, joyful noise coming from the whole earth. You know what? God invented sound. Sound is an invention, a creation of God. God came up with the idea of vocal cords, and many creatures together can make a very loud sound. Isaiah 44, sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forests and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel. How should we give thanks to the Lord? With loud praise. But also, in quiet days, because the psalmist gives another scene here. First, we have a scene of all this loud noise, but then look at verse 3. What do you see in verse 3? Right there at the end, some sheep in a pasture. And that quiet scene captures the opposite of the loud praise in verse 1. It's good to gather with others and praise and give loud praise and loud noise to God, but it's also good to give thanks in the quiet of your own place. Those are both important. We need to be together on Sunday morning in church. But if Sunday morning in church is the only time when you worship, the only time when you're giving thanks to God, then you're missing out, beloved, because God also calls us to give him thanks and worship him in the quietness of our own place, where we can quietly reflect on his provision for our life, when we can recognize his blessings, and we can actually count them, sometimes write them down. What has God done for me? For that kind of quiet reflection, you have to turn off the TV. You have to actually set the smartphone aside for a little while and just get in a quiet place and rest in who God is. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. How should we give thanks to the Lord? In loud praise and in quiet days. Who should give thanks to the Lord? The whole earth and God's people. But all of this is setting the stage for us to come to the most important question this psalm answers, and that's the why question. Why should we give thanks to the Lord? We've seen the who and the why, the who and the how, but now let's talk about the why. And once again, we see a two-part answer. We should give thanks to the Lord because he is God. We see this in verses 1 to 3. By the way, look at the structure of this psalm. Verses 1 to 3, it's a two-part poem. Part 1, verses 1 to 3. Part 2, verses 4 and 5. It might not break out quite like that in your Bible, but that's the two parts of this poem. And both parts there's a parallel structure. It begins with a list of commands, and then it ends with an assurance, a word of assurance. You could call them, if you like grammar, imperatives and indicatives. But the list of commands in verse 1, you see in verse 1 and 2, make a joyful noise, serve the Lord, come into his presence, know that the Lord is God. Those are commands, and then it ends with this assurance. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That's an indicative. That's a sign of, here's something that's true by way of assurance. And then the second part does the same thing. It starts with commands. Enter his gates, give thanks, bless his name. And then the assurance, the Lord is good, etc. So those are the two parts. And here we're going to see why we should give thanks to the Lord. First, we should give thanks to the Lord because he is God. Now, maybe that sounds redundant to you. The Lord is God. That's like, God is God. Why would you say something like that? That doesn't seem to make sense. But it doesn't say God is God. It says the Lord is God. And that's a significant difference. The Bible uses a lot of different names for God. And these are probably the two most commonly used names. The word Lord comes from the Hebrew Yahweh, which is his most personal, intimate name known by his people. Yahweh, okay? The name God is from the Hebrew Elohim, which is the God of all creation, the God of all power and might and strength. So what they're saying is our Lord is the God of all creation. That's what it's saying when it says the Lord is God. The Lord that we are in relationship is also the high King of heaven and the God of all power. It would be like saying us saying today, Jesus, our Savior, is God. And to him belongs all thanksgiving and praise because he is God. Here's another reason we should give thanks to the Lord, because he is good. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. We should give thanks to the Lord because he is good. Not every god worshipped by humans is good. The Hindus worship millions of gods. One of them is a god named Kali, the dark mother, a destroying god who is portrayed as a very vicious, wicked god. Even the god of the Muslims, Allah, who's nothing like that, but he's not a father to his people. But our God, the one true God, the God revealed in the scripture, our God is good. Let me ask you, have you ever had anything good happen to you? Have you ever had a moment of joy or delight? Where do you suppose moments like that come from? Have you ever had a picture of beauty that came before you? Where do all these good things come from? They come from God. We should give thanks to the Lord because he is good. The writer speaks here of his steadfast love. You see that in verse 5? His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness endures to all generations. God keeps his promises. Has anyone ever broken a promise they made to you? Probably, but not God. God always keeps his promises. He's faithful to all generations. His love lasts forever. His faithfulness never changes. He is good. Nothing compares to the faithfulness of God. And that's a reason to say thanks. One December years ago, I was on my way home from somewhere, and I had a connection in Salt Lake City and a layover there of several hours. And this was before 911, where there wasn't so much hassle to go in and out of security. I had time to get out of the airport and go downtown and have a look around and then come back to the airport later. So that's what I did. I went downtown. It was the Christmas season. Everything was absolutely beautiful. And especially, it was all decorated for Christmas. And especially the Mormon temple complex. There's a whole campus there. That's, of course, the worldwide headquarters for the Mormon church. And there's lots of stuff there to see. Lots of beautiful, beautiful buildings. And I was walking around looking at all of this beauty and splendor. And a question was forming in my mind. Could all of this magnificence really come from a falsehood? Because I knew enough about the Mormon doctrine that it denies some critical key doctrines of the Bible. If the Mormon church has this much glory, surely it can't be wrong. And I was struggling with that question as I was looking at all of this. And on my way back to the airport, and as we boarded the plane, just contemplating this question, as I took my seat, and then I looked out the window and I saw the Big Dipper hanging in the heavens. And the plane took off, and as we gained some altitude, I could see downtown Salt Lake City down there all lit up, and think about what I had seen. I could still see it, but then not as well, and then it was receding, and pretty quick it was disappeared. It was invisible, but the Big Dipper was still there. And a couple of hours later, when we landed here in Portland, the Big Dipper was still there, exactly in the same place, exactly where God spoke it into existence at the creation. And I realized something. Humans can achieve beauty and glory. We can build grand buildings. God gave us the ability to do that, and that's all good. But none of this comes close to the faithful truth of God, whose glory and goodness are without end, beloved. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithfulness endures to all generations. It is he who made us. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. God is our shepherd. He is good. He is our good shepherd. Does that sound familiar? You see, this psalm is pointing to someone who isn't on the scene when the psalm is written. It's pointing to someone who would come centuries later. Hundreds of years after this psalm was written, someone came and said this: I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. I lay down my life for the sheep. Psalm 100 pictures us as sheep feeding in the pastures of the Lord. The prophet Isaiah says, yes, we are sheep, and we got lost. We went our own way. We went astray. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, gone in rebellion against God. And then it says, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, we have life today. We have forgiveness of sin today. We can celebrate Thanksgiving today because of the death of one perfect man. He called himself the Good Shepherd. He had been in glory forever and ever. And he left that and came to earth and was born as a human baby. And he lived among people. And he blessed people. He fed us. He healed us. He taught us. And then he laid down his life for us. He died for us to pay the price of our sins. He rose again for your sake. He lives today. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And we have something like thanksgiving because of that. Glory to God. Praise to Jesus Christ. Let's worship him and honor him with our lives.